Psalm 96 says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvellous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendour and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendour of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness."
Well, good morning again. Well, let me begin by talking about something strange that Christians do every weekend. Do you realize that? Every time we meet, every time we gather, every weekend, we do something a little bit strange. We sing together. Now, you may not think that's strange, especially those of us who've been part of the church for a very long time or your entire life. That's this, a part of you, a part of what life is all about. But put yourself in the shoes of those who are outside the church, who've never been to church, who might not be Christians. Maybe that's you today. You are visiting us this morning and it feels a little bit strange for you, a strange experience, because singing is such an unusual thing for people. And I'm talking about singing together with other people, not just by yourself. For most people, the only time they sing together with other people is probably during, well, somebody's birthday. Or maybe if you go to a concert. And a concert is not something you go every week. So that's actually a very rare occurrence in our usual lives that we will go around singing with other people. When I was still a student in a college, before I was a Christian, I was invited by one of my Christian friends to a Christian student meeting. So I went there, never been to a meeting before, non-Christian, and they started the meeting with singing. And that was so strange to me. I've never done that before in my life. Singing? No. And so that was there in a Christian meeting, surrounded by my friends. So some of them were singing. Some of them were closing their eyes, lifting their hands like this. And I just felt, oh my, what's going on here? It felt very strange, very foreign. Never experienced anything like that before in my life. So what we do every week when we gather and we sing, it is in some sense a weird thing, a strange thing. And sometimes we even sing several times a week. But let's zoom out even more. Christians actually have been singing for thousands of years. We haven't just started singing 20 or 30 years ago. It has always been a large part of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a follower of Jesus. The style may have changed over the centuries, but we haven't stopped singing. It's just part of who we are. But what is it about this music, this singing, that has become so much a part of the Christian identity? And as we heard from Psalm 96, this has been going on for thousands of years. So how should we think about our singing every weekend? Why do we expect our volunteers through the music team to practice for hours every week so that we can come and sing together? What happens if you're a person who actually, like me many years ago, you don't like singing, never sung before, you just like listening, not singing? I once knew a lady who would come to church 30 to 40 minutes late so that she could skip the singing, just come for the sermon and take the Lord's Supper. So I asked her, well, why? Oh, singing doesn't really do anything for me. You know, the sermon at Lord's Supper is so much more meaningful for me. And so she skips the singing. What do we say to that? Well, we're going to look at what the scriptures say this morning. We'll look at a few passages today that will give us a clear and helpful understanding of what happens when we sing. Main passage will be from Colossians chapter 3, with a focus on verses 15 to 17. But throughout the sermon, I'll bring in other passages from the scripture. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. And let me invite you to stand as I read from God's word. Chapter 3, I'll read from verse 12 onwards, all the way to 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any one of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father, through him. You may be seated. So three main points that I wanted to bring out to talk about what singing is about and what it means for the people of God to be singing to God. So number one, singing helps us to praise the God who saved us. Singing helps us to praise the God who saved us. When we come to think about the topic of singing, one of the first things we must think about is the person to whom we are singing. We are singing about and singing to the God of the Bible. And what is it about this God that is worth our time, worth our effort to sing praises about? What did he do? Verse 12 in chapter 3 of Colossians. Therefore is God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. We are God's holy and chosen people, set apart for others, dearly loved by God. He has done great things for us. He has loved us, saved us from our sins. And earlier on in this book, Paul says, for he, God, rescued us from the dominion of darkness, brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so we were in a kingdom of darkness. What God did was he transferred us from this kingdom of darkness through the work of Christ into the kingdom of Jesus. And now we have life, we have light, and therefore we rejoice, we celebrate, we sing praise to God for this salvation that he has given to us. And throughout the history of the Bible, God's people have always praised God for what he has done for his salvation through songs. Right? One of the things that songs do is that it helps us to express our deepest gratitude, deepest emotions towards God that sometimes mere words cannot do. When we have experienced so great a salvation, so great a change in our hearts, we cannot help but burst out in praise, burst out in song. And the more we let the truths of the gospel sink deep in our hearts, take root in our hearts, the more we want to sing praise for this God. One of the greatest acts of salvation by God for his people is in the book of Exodus. You know the story. God led his people through Moses out of the dominion of darkness under slavery under Pharaoh, through the Red Sea, through death into life, into God's promised land eventually. They crossed from death to life. Immediately after crossing the Red Sea, what did they do? Chapter 15, verse 1 in Exodus. Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord, to Yahweh. I will sing to Yahweh, for he is highly exalted. And then it goes on to talk about what God has done. It's always been a part of the Israelites' life in praising God. We have an entire book, the longest book in the Bible. It's the book of Psalms, a collection of songs in which the people of God that Jesus himself would have used. And so that's what we do every weekend when we gather. We sing praise to God. Right? We are gathered here as God's people. We bring praise to God in songs because he has called us to be his family. And when we let the truth of the gospel take root in our hearts, sink deep into our hearts, we can't help it but sing with joy, sing with fervor, sing with passion, sing with loud voices praising this God who has saved us from our sins. And notice we don't do this by ourselves. We do this together as a family of Christ in Jesus. We do this together with the rest of the congregation. We are part of the great gathering of the people of God. And what we have here right now in this congregation, every single Sunday, is a picture of what heaven is going to be like. Right? It is an anticipation of the new creation. Revelation 7, look at what the Apostle John saw. This is, in the future, what's going to be true. Verse 9 of chapter 7. After this, I looked. There before me was a great multitude that no one could count, where from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, they were wearing white robes, holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." It's a wonderful, grand, glorious picture of the people of God singing praises to God at the end of time in the new creation. And what we have here every single weekend at Willow is a picture of that, a reflection of that, an anticipation of that. We gather together as God's family from every tribe, every nation. We sing praise to God. We sing praise to God for this God has saved us, transferred us from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of the Son he loves. And if you are here, you're visiting us for the very first time, or maybe you're not a Christian, and you have found, you know, attending church service is a bit strange, especially with the singing. And let me tell you, it's very normal to feel strange if this is your first time at church. Not a common experience. But let me encourage you to think about this one question. This one question. What is there in your life that so moves you and so changes you that you want to share the experience and actually sing along and sing about it together with others? Is there anything in your life that does that? Think about that. And for Christians, for those who believe in Jesus Christ, who has been saved by the death and resurrection of Christ, we sing because singing helps us to praise God, the God who has saved us from our sins. We were in darkness, helpless, in despair, but God rescues us from the pits of hell into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That is worth singing about. That's worth singing about because while mere words is not enough to express our gratitude, that's worth singing about weekly, together with God's people, for thousands of years. Actually, it's worth singing about for all eternity. And I want you to notice, this is not a suggestion. We are commanded to sing. Right, chapter 3, verse 16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. That's what we're called to do. It is not a suggestion. It is not if you feel like singing, therefore sing. We are commanded to sing. There are some within our circles that sometimes, not circles, not here at Willow, but in general in the Reformed confessional crowd, sometimes they're really cautious, very hesitant about the place of emotions in our gatherings. Right? One of the things they want to make sure is that our faith, you know, our faith is not based on mere emotions. It's on theology, historical facts, emotions, fickle, unreliable. No. The Christian faith is not fickle. It is rock solid. Therefore, no emotions. Well, there are plenty of emotions in the scriptures. Right? We have a whole range of human emotions in the book of Psalms. It's a book of songs. But the book of Psalms, this book of songs, is not devoid of knowledge of God. In fact, their expression of their emotions, their outbursts of praise, of joyful praise, filled with delight, filled with emotions, is based on their theology, based on their knowledge of God, based on their experience of who God is. Pure emotion and only emotion without any kind of foundation, that's bad. That's terrible. Absolutely. But emotions that are undergirded, supported by good theology, that's biblical. Knowing God, experiencing what God has done for us, the salvation He has bought us, should always, always lead to praise and worship of God. And any praise and worship of God should be and must be informed by good theology, good knowledge of who God is. Without sound theology, without a proper understanding of what God has done for us, praise and worship of God can be just idolatry. Because what we're chasing after, that buzz, that emotional buzz, that adrenaline of a concert. But on the flip side, any theology that does not lead us to praise God, to worship God with joy and delight and happiness, with emotions, that's a dead faith. How can we know God and this wonderful, merciful, gracious God and not feel anything? No. Both extremes are not biblical. We are commanded to praise God. We're commanded to sing together as a church, as a family of God. And when we gather each week, we do exactly just that. We sing praise to God together as a family of God. We sing praise to God. We sing praise about God to each other, encouraging, blessing one another because God has saved us. It's point number one. Let's go to point number two. This is a short one. Very important one, but short one. Singing helps us to pray to the God who comforts us. Singing helps us to pray to the God who comforts us. A number of years ago, I read an article. Really, again, helps me in my thinking about this area of singing to God. So he wrote this article and he called that the title of that article is, he asked, "What can miserable Christians sing?" Great impacting sort of title, isn't it? What can miserable Christians sing? Now, one of the main points of his article is his observation that sometimes the songs that many churches have been singing are those joyful, happy, clappy songs. And if that's the only kind of song we sing, he asks a question, what can miserable Christians sing? Christians who are going through hard times. Christians who are battling anxiety, depression. Christians who just received bad news regarding their health or family. What can they sing? But throughout the Psalms, if you read through the Psalms, many of them are prayers to God. And these prayers are sung to God. And when we do that, it engages us, the emotional dimensions of the truths that we are singing and saying to God. Many songs are prayers. And one of the things that we know throughout history, in history, is that the Psalms were used for singing in the life of God's people. The Psalms were sung, not just read. And in Colossians 3:16, we are commanded to teach and admonish one another in all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. We are meant to sing our prayers. And so singing not only helps us to praise God, it helps us to pray to God. There are times in our lives where, because of some trauma, because of how hard and how anxious you are of the situation you're going through or the circumstances you're going through, prayer can be incredibly hard. And it is in those times when we come to church, gather with God's people, and we sing these great truths as prayers to God. These songs help us to pray, helps us to lament, helps us to grieve, helps us to turn to God. And remember, we're not doing this by ourselves. We're singing together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are not alone. Maybe you're facing tremendous pressures or stress at work. Maybe you're having a very painful conflict with a loved one. Maybe you've lost a loved one, somebody close to you. Maybe you're struggling to find a meaning in your life or just in your job. And you're wondering what life is all about. And then you come to church as you are going through all these things. And we start singing, our eyes are lifted up to see God and think of God. When we sing a hymn like, How Great Thou Art. When we sing like what we sung last week, Speak, O Lord. Those are prayers to God. It helps us to rely on God in our lives. A form of praying to God. And when we come together to sing as a congregation, I am encouraged. Encouraged to hear the voices of God's people singing to God, praying to God. We are encouraged when we see our brothers and sisters in Christ, when we know they're going through a tough time, when we know they are really in pain and struggling, yet they are persevering through, singing loudly in praise of God. Are we not encouraged when we see that? That's an amazing witness to the goodness of God at that point. What a comfort and encouragement to our souls when we join together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Singing to God helps us to pray to the God who comforts us. Let's come to point number three. Point number three, singing helps us to proclaim the God who is worthy. Singing helps us to proclaim the God who is worthy. Look at Colossians 3:16 again. Notice what he says. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Notice what he's saying we're doing when we sing. The message of Christ dwells among us richly. What do? Teach and admonish one another through songs. When we are singing, what we are doing is that we're proclaiming, we're teaching, admonishing one another about the message of Christ, about the good news of the gospel to each other every time we sing. Because what do we sing? We sing about how good God has been to us. We sing about Jesus Christ and His blood shed for us. We're singing about the work of the Spirit in and through us. We're singing about the grace and mercy and love of God shown to us in Jesus Christ. And we're singing together in the midst of the congregation. And for example, one song that we sang today was Oh Praise the Name. If you notice that song, the entire song is a retelling. It's a proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're singing about casting our minds back to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for us. It's about the sacrifice, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the future return of our King. That's theology. That's what we're singing about, the gospel message. And as we sing that, that message dwells among us richly. We're not just coming for ourselves every time we gather as a church, as Willetton Christian Church. We're not just coming for ourselves. We're coming for our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not an individualistic thing. We're coming as a family to teach and admonish one another about the message of Christ. We're proclaiming to each other the good news, the grace and mercy and love of God. In other words, as we sing, we are all engaging in word ministry. It's not just a preacher up here proclaiming God's word to you. All of us are engaging in word ministry. Last week I mentioned about encountering God through the preaching of the word of God. Absolutely, that's what happens. But it's not just the preacher up here who's engaged in word ministry. All of you are, as you sing praise to God, as a family of Christ, bringing God's word, the message of Christ, the gospel of Christ, to everybody here. We are doing word ministry, all of us here, just in different forms. And let me go one step further. Let's be honest as well, right? How many of us here can actually remember the sermon from last month? Okay, you know what? Let's not say last month. Let's say last week. How many of you here remember the 3 points of the sermon from last week? The reality is, most of us forget the sermon very quickly. My preachers can spend hours preparing the sermon every week, only for us to forget it the next day. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not laying the blame on anybody. That's just human nature. I understand that. That's normal. But there's something about songs that resonates so deeply in us that makes us remember songs so well, that it stays with us after many years. Right? If I say to you, in Christ alone, my hope is found, you know that straight up in your head. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. If I say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. All of us know that. We remember those lyrics. We can sing that. And how about this lyric, this song, an old song, but many of you probably haven't sung this for many, many years, but we know it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Do you recognize that's the gospel right there? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Notice how much theology is there. You don't know Jesus loves me purely from your own emotions, from anywhere else. How do we know Jesus loves me? Because the Bible tells me so. There's glorious, wonderful, biblical truth in that simple song. Supposedly for kids. But that's the gospel message right there. And we still remember it decades after learning about it. And so songs have this incredible power to remain in our memory. And as we sing it together, as a church family, as a congregation, what are we doing? We're singing, we're teaching, admonishing one another about the gospel. And so we're not just praising God when we sing. We're not just praying to God when we sing. We're doing word ministry. We're proclaiming the gospel message of Christ. And that's why the music team or the worship team is so important. Right? They are not here to manipulate our emotions, make us feel good when we gather. Not here just to be mere accompaniment when we sing. Their role is more important than that. They're there to engage us and engage our hearts to sing praise, sing and pray to God to proclaim Jesus Christ and to each other through gospel-centered, Bible-saturated, God-glorifying songs. In fact, you know what? Let's not even think about the music team up there and the rest of us down there. Because why? Because when we gather, we are all part of the worship team. We're all engaged in word ministry to each other. Those on the stage playing music, playing the instruments, are there to help us to proclaim and sing praise and to pray to God. That's what we're doing. We're singing praise to God, the God who saved us. We're praying to the God who can comfort us. And we're proclaiming the God who is worthy. And that's why we have a team of people who commit so many hours each week to come and practice, to rehearse, to learn new songs, so that they can help us to do all of those things. And don't forget the multimedia person, the sound person at the back. They all play a very important part, often thankless part. If something goes wrong, everybody knows it. Everything goes right, nobody remembers it. That's just how it is. But yet they're all working so hard every week, spending hours every week to help all of us here to sing praise, to proclaim the gospel to each other. They work hard to bless us. They work hard to encourage us. Let's do the same to bless them and encourage them. Remember to thank them. When's the last time you thanked the musicians in our team? They play such an important part in engaging our hearts, engaging our souls to praise, to pray to, and to proclaim God. Two simple applications. First is this, right? The music team, the worship team, and the audiovisual team, we are always in need of more people to serve. And at this point, particularly, we need more people to help us play the keyboard and more people to be vocalists, to be involved in the audio-visual side of things. If you are somebody who have some skills in those areas, we would love for you to be involved. We would love for you to join this ministry. If God has put that desire in you to serve in those areas, we want to help you to serve God in those areas. Don't worry too much about your skill at this point. Your heart and your desire to serve is more important. And when we have more people serving in those teams, that means we also give our musicians a chance to actually join in the congregation rather than playing every single week. One way we love them and one way we encourage them is to serve in those ministries. So there is a sign-up sheet in the info hub table just outside the hall. Please go and put your name down if you're thinking about this after the service. Someone will contact you. That's the first very simple application. Second simple application is this. Let us continue to adopt a posture of encouragement and grace towards each other in this area of ministry. Now, ever since becoming a part of Willow, one of the most encouraging aspects of Willow is, as you would know, the congregational singing. I have absolutely loved being a part of that. It's a wonderful testament of God's blessing and God's work in our midst. And that's why it is all the more important that we don't take that for granted. And what we need to do is constantly, intentionally renew our commitment to sing with joy, with gratitude, and with love for God. Right, at the end of Colossians 3:16, he says, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Let's make a commitment to do that week after week. And I want to thank you for doing that week after week. What an encouragement it is every single week when we come to church. And what an encouragement to the worship team when you do sing along, when you sing at the top of your lungs and sing praise to God. That's an encouragement to them. While at the same time, let's keep that posture of grace towards each other in this area. As I mentioned, right, this topic of music and this topic of song is so personal and so connects deeply with our emotions that sometimes it brings out strong opinions, let's put it that way. But please remember, everybody who serves in this ministry is a volunteer. So there are times where we might not get things absolutely right. Maybe we don't sing the songs that you like, or we do things just a bit differently. Well, let's be gracious to one another. Because we all love the Lord, we want to do what is best for the people of God. And at the end of the day, we are one in Christ. united to Jesus as the people of God, and we all want to sing praise to Him. Sing praise to Him for all that He has done. Let me finish with this passage from Hebrews chapter 2, a passage that really gives me a grander picture of what's happening when we are singing praise to God. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 to 12. And as I read this passage, notice what Jesus does and His role. All right? Chapter 2, verse 10. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect. Who's that talking about? Jesus. Through what He suffered, both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, notice what Jesus does, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praise. Notice what Jesus does. He declares God's name to His brothers and sisters, the people of God, the church. He declares God's name to us. And then next line, in the assembly, in the gathering, in the church, Jesus will sing God's praises. In other words, the true worship leader in our midst is Jesus Christ. He is the pioneer of our salvation. The true worship leader in our midst is not the music team. It's not the song leader. It's not the vocalist up here. It's not the service leader up front. The true worship leader is Jesus Christ Himself, who leads by His example in His obedience, living a perfect life, pouring out His blood to atone for our sins, rose again, crowned as King, and He comes into our midst by His Spirit. He leads all of us to praise, to pray to, and to proclaim God through songs. He is the one who unites us. We are one in Jesus, not through a particular style of music, not how it sounds like, not who, depending on who's singing up here, but through the life, death, exaltation of Jesus Christ as our Savior and King. Jesus is in our midst, leading us to sing praise to God. He is our true worship leader. Let's keep that in mind. And as a way to end, I will do something a little bit different than usual. Let me invite the music team to the front right now. And as they come up to the front, one of the things that I usually do at the end of the sermon is that I pray. But instead of me praying today, all of us will pray through songs. And all of us will praise God. All of us will proclaim God's goodness together. So we are going to sing two songs. First one is a newer song, a song that was introduced to you a number of weeks ago. The next song will be an older hymn, because both songs celebrate and glorify who God is and what He has done for us. Let me invite you to stand as to sing praise to God.